Fellow Americans, it is with the utmost pride and sincerity that I present this recording as a living testament and recollection of history in the making during our generation.
Allow me to reintroduce myself. My name is...
What?
My name is...
Dr. Drake.
Yeah.
Sir Robert Ford.
Okay, we get it. Start the show.
Here we go now. Let's go.
Yes, sir. Cinco de Mayo.
Yeah.
Yes. We are officially talking sports with the 12 men again, as the fellas have clearly stated. It is a Cinco de Mayo day. Happy Cinco de Mayo to you guys. Happy May. We're getting this, kicking this party off. As we always do, we are officially ready to talk some sports. Man, what to do? Let's get this party started here. Playoffs are happening. A lot of things going on. Wrap up NFL draft, all that stuff. We are ready to get this party rolling. So without further ado, we always have all the coasts covered, from East Coast, West Coast, Mid Coast, everything to that effect. Let's check in with the fellas. Mr. JQ, working hard. How you feeling this evening, bro?
Oh, man, I'm good, man. It's been Mid Coast. It's been crazy. I did a United 2 game on Saturday. I watched that quadruple overtime game between the Blazers and the Nuggets on Friday.
Yeah,
I watched that terrible Jacob Alvarez fight on Saturday. And then today I took the family over to watch Endgame. At the theater, so I've been moving and shaking a little bit this weekend, man. How you doing?
Nice, man. Endgame. I'm surprised you got the kids settled down. It's like 3 hours, man. I'm sure hopefully they're able to settle down for that long.
Oh man, my youngest was killing me about halfway through. She said, "Daddy, I'm hungry." I said, "Come on, man. We just had a whole thing of popcorn. You ate over before we came. Like, I don't know what you want me to tell you, but we ain't leaving. We just paid $50 to get here for the four of us. So we watched it into this game. It was excellent. It was on my part." But They made it through. They both enjoyed it, though, so it was a good time. Good family time.
That's good. That's cool. Great movie, too. We're, like I said, it's always like to talk about that and get caught up, too. Mr. Rob Ford, how you feeling, bro?
Man, doing great. No complaints at all. I tell you what, these NBA playoffs have been outstanding. When you look at the Portland-Denver series tied up at 2, and then, of course, you know, JQ made mention to the game 4, the 4 overtimes. On Friday night, I was struggling. I was trying to stay awake, but it was such a great game.
Yes, it was.
Unbelievable. And, you look at the Sixers and the Raptors, you got another series that's tied up at 2 apiece. You know, we'll see what happens with game 4 with the Bucks and the Celtics and the Warriors and the Rockets, and see if a team's going to go up 3-1 or if a team's going to match up and tie it up at 2. So, entertaining basketball in the playoffs.
I'm surprised you got the West Coast. I know they're probably watching diligently as the show's going on, too. So we'll get a quick recap and check in with you guys in a quick second as well. So stay tuned. Let's throw out the numbers really quickly for those that want to call in. The number to call is always 424-243-9519 is the number to call, 424-243-9519. Reach out to us on Twitter at the number 12TH. MAN Sports, which stands for 12 Man Sports. And then last but not least, we are on Facebook, facebook.com/12ManSports or Talking Sports with the 12th Man. You will find us in that arena. So we're going to kick off with a little baseball talk. And like I said, stay tuned, guys. We're ready for you. We're going to talk some NBA a little later on. And we'll get you your thoughts about the fourth overtime and everything like that as well. But Giants and Reds, JQ, you are first off the bat, bro.
Yeah, and they didn't give me nothing good to talk about this weekend. It was really bad. They lost today 6-5, and again had a 4-run lead and lost it on Friday. You know, they were up 8-0 after the fourth inning, and lost 11-10 in the extra innings. They were able to salvage the game on Saturday, but you can't be up 8-0, 4-0 at home and lose those games. When they hit, they can't pitch. When they pitch, they can't hit. And that's pretty much just been the real season. This has been a microcosm of it in this series. So. Pass off to all those Giants fans out there on the West Coast. I know they were loving trying to get close to the 500, but really disappointing for the Reds to drop those games like that. But I'm excited for Nick Senzel. He was really fantastic in this opening weekend against the Giants. We'll see if it carries over. But he gave that offense a bit of a jolt, his first home run yesterday. Then we had back-to-back-to-back home runs today, but just not enough to take the series. But they definitely gave that game away on Friday. It's just nothing else to be said about it. If you're up 8-0 after 4 innings, you got to win that game.
Hmm. They hit like 3 homers back-to-back-to-back, right? Like you said, right? That's crazy.
That's today, yep. And they lost.
That's tough. All right, bro.
Yeah,
that well, like
National
said,
League
you know,
Central, that division where the Reds are in, me, every team in that division is above 500 except the Reds. So you look at the Cubs, won 7 straight. The Cardinals only half game back. I mean, the Brewers are 1.5 back. And even the Pirates, 16 and 15, 3 games back. So that's a very competitive division with 4 to 5 teams all above 500.
Yeah, you can't afford to give away games like that. And that's what hurts the most is that when you have that kind of division, those are the games you look back and say, man, if we had just found the way to finish that game off, we'd have been good. But that's who my Cincinnati Reds are. So good times. I appreciate you putting that in there. I was hoping I'd be able to talk about them winning the series, but it didn't work out that way.
Nice. Anything about, I don't know if you want to put this about the Cubs regaining their confidence and Chris Sale's first win of the season. If you want to jump on that, JQ or let Rob handle that. But
Yelich and Bellinger just came out, you know, on fire. I think like 50 RBIs in the first month of the season. I mean, that's just unheard of. He's been a little banged up here lately, but you know the Cubs just have too much talent. And you look at that team for you realize, like, you know, they're not going to be bad for too long. Then they may be getting added to Russell back. That's going to be another wrinkle, him coming off of that domestic violence suspension. I know he's going to Triple-A Iowa, I believe, to start when he gets reinstated. But you talk about adding another really good player to that lineup with, you know, with Baez and Rizzo and Bryant. They just have a lot of talent on that team. So I wasn't overly concerned about them to start the season. They just started slow, but they had too much talent to fit, in my opinion.
Cool. All right. Let's kick it off to this NBA. Rob, the floor is yours about Monty Williams, the new coach. I'm sorry, the new coach for the Suns here. Go ahead, Rob.
Well, obviously, I think this is a really good hire. I mean, obviously, I'm familiar with Monty when he's head coach of the Pelicans. You know, took the Pelicans to the playoffs twice. You know, had some really competitive teams. You know, before, one of those years when they had David West and Chris Paul, they were the number 2 seed in the West for most of the year until David West went down at the end of the year. But I think one of the things I like about Monty, first of all, he's a great guy. He's a good man. And then he's, you know, a solid basketball coach. He really is going to push it on the defensive end as well. And so I really like this hire for the Phoenix Suns. I'm really curious to know, you know, if this is somebody JQ would have loved the Lakers to hire over Ty Lue.
Uh-oh.
I know the Ty Lue situation is not official just yet. But I like the hiring of Monty Williams. I really do. And I think he still has a lot of potential to be a really good basketball coach in the NBA. And he's a Greg Popovich disciple and, you know, coaching with Brett Brown up there as well. You know, he's had a big influence on what the 76ers are doing.
I was going to say, Monty Williams is the one that lost his wife, right?
She died
a couple years ago. Mm-hmm. Monty Williams. Okay. Yeah, and he seems to be a really good player's coach. And it may not necessarily be sexy, but if you look around the landscape of who's available as a coach, it's not a whole lot of sexy names available, some retreads. But, yeah, the Lakers, to your point, are the New York Knicks West. And it's just the people are avoiding them like a plague. And it's really sad for a franchise with that story to have that happen. But, again, it falls back on LeBron. And now he's put more pressure on the situation because, like you said, Monty, I think, would have been a good coach, you know, not trying to go after Jerry West. Like, you're skewing other better names to fit what LeBron maybe wants to do. And, you know, other people don't want to come there because they don't want to feel like they answer to LeBron. So now you've given him that kind of power back within the Lakers. And as great of a player as he is, I don't know if that always is going to translate to decision personnel making moves, you know, front office moves. So I'm not at all excited about Tyronn Lue. And I really feel like there's going to be a huge backlash from the Lakers fans and from the NBA community at large if they hire Tyronn Lue. I know people like him, but he walked into a great situation in Cleveland. When it got hard in Cleveland, he didn't help them get any better, right? Like, they didn't respond. He didn't motivate them. He didn't do anything to make them a better team. He was like, I'm just riding know, LeBron coattails and Kyrie and Kevin were doing their things. So, you know, I got a chip out of it. But he's not nobody that you look at and say he's going to inspire confidence. He's going to have this kind of Popovich or, you know, this kind of Brad Stevens, X and O's kind of impact on the game. It's just not going to happen in L.A. for him. Honestly, I don't think it's going to happen from anywhere. I just don't think he's that kind of coach. I think he got into a good situation. He got a chip out of it, and he's got a good relationship with LeBron, and that's where his credentials start and end. And as a Lakers fan, I'm just disappointed that they're falling into that Cleveland mentality of doing all these things to appease LeBron, which may not always be the best thing for the organization. And I just don't think that's going to work out. I really don't like it.
Yeah, JQ has given us a full depth of your dissertation on that. Good job, bro. We appreciate that, man. Okay. All right. Okay. All right. And, you know, we appreciate that, too. So, hey, let's kick it over to the West Coast here. I know we're going to definitely talk about happening. Your thoughts on this first series here, because you've been kind of going off here. So, West Coast, what you guys got?
Well, first of all, I love to see the Lakers and, you know, them screwing up like they're doing these days. I am loving that. But let's get on with the teams that are relevant that are in the playoffs this year. And it's not the Lakers. So we're going to talk about the Portland Trailblazers. Hey, let's talk about Game 3 first. You know,
historic.
You know,
historic.
The last teams that were in, you know, a four overtime game was in 1953, Boston against Syracuse. That's before Boston even had a championship.
Wow.
So these two teams going at it the way they went at it and coming back, and both teams going at it evenly matched, and both teams with stars and both teams with role players coming to play and playing well. That was just that was epic.
It was
phenomenal game to watch.
Yes, it was.
It was one of those games where, you know, at the end of the night, my dad and I are sitting in our living room here watching my 65-inch TV, and we're just like, wow, we ended up on top of that one. You know, that could have gone either way. What's that?
Yeah, Jokic played like 65 minutes.
Yeah, we see how the high rollers roll.
Crazy. Yeah, I know,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
But the fact that he played like 65 minutes, I think, in that game, it was 60-something. It was either 63 or 65 minutes. I mean, that was – I watched that game, and I was dragging ass. I was with you, Rob, and I was struggling the next morning. But I was like, I can't turn this off at this point. I mean, they are having – when you're watching an instant classic in the making, you can't turn that off. You know what I mean? I know it was right here. It was like 2:20, I think, when that game ended on the East Coast. But, oh, my gosh, Rodney Hood stepping up big time in that fourth overtime for Portland. That forgotten trailblazer, but he came and he put his stamp on that game at the end. But I told y'all when we talked about the playoffs, I said we talked about the other three series. I really thought this series was going to be really entertaining and people were going to sleep on it. And it made me look like a genius, so I appreciate it.
You know, and what a move, because Rodney Hood was he was sitting on the bench for like 35 minutes.
Yeah.
Before they brought him in that fourth overtime. And he sprinted out on the court, as you guys saw. And I'm like, wow, this guy's got some energy. And then he just really played clutch. You know, that fake pump, get that three, you know, which was just huge. What a phenomenal game coming off the bench. I my hat's off to both teams in this series because they both won it. They both have had times where they've had lulls in their games, but the intensity is what I'm enjoying. I'm enjoying watching two teams going at it, equally wanting it, and really equally matched. I mean, only one game separated them in the, you know, in the Western Conference, and you know, and it shows because those two teams are really they're battling hard, and I mean, it's really to me. Right now, I wanted this one so bad today, we didn't get it.
Can I ask you, do you think this was too much to ask for any of the teams in the playoff to win three straight? Because that's what Portland would have had to do to win, they would have had to win three straight.
And that is too much. That is too much to ask for either one of these teams to win three straight, Curtis. I think you're right on that. Curtis and I were talking about, going forward, it's just going to be I'm so looking forward to the next game because I think it's going to be just like the rest of these games. It's just going to be back and forth, and it's just going to be, you know, really whoever – maybe whoever has the ball last, you know.
Yep.
Which is really cool basketball to watch.
Historic.
Very well played.
Game three is going into history, in NBA history.
What's that? Rob, I didn't hear you.
That we call it joking. He might be the best big man in the game, and that's no insult to Joel Embiid. But man,
well,
he does everything.
Well, there's no might about it. I think he's head and shoulders the best big man in the game.
I saw the big men for Philadelphia miss a ton of free throws. Jokic ain't missing a ton of free throws.
No, he's not.
He missed that one though. He missed the big one. But you know what? Real fast, Rob. I'm gonna let you finish this one up. What I enjoy about this series as well is I don't feel like Jamal Murray and Gary Harris are trying to out-duel, so to speak, McCollum and Lillard. They are playing within the confines of different basketball, and they've realized that they have probably the best big man in the league right now, and they're playing through him at the top of that free throw line and picking and rolling into depth and letting him be that point center, so to speak. And it's great basketball, and you watch Portland on the other side of it with that guard-centric basketball, but they're staying true to what they do as well. So you've got these two kind of contrasting styles of basketball playing each other, and they're staying within their own lanes and like, you know what, our style can beat your style. No, my style can beat your style. And I just love the fact that they're sticking to who they are and playing really good basketball. It's been fun to watch.
Absolutely. This, you know, this game here tonight was just where we lost it as Portland is really in the third quarter. They outscored us, you know, 27-14 in the third quarter. That's what really cost us the game.
I have noticed in a lot of Portland games throughout the time I've been watching Portland basketball that the key to those guys is always in the third quarter. And the third quarter got them this game. But after, you know, the smoke cleared today, I had to think, you know, and what I was into, the professionalism, the endurance part of this whole thing. You know, that game ended at 12:35 Pacific Standard Time. That was really late. And they were out there, like you said, some of those guys did an hour and five and an hour and 10 minutes of being on the basketball thing, trying to get that game over with. Now, they had a huge turnaround, and they had to nourish, they had to rest, and they had to gear it up for game three. Game four. And, the professionalism of it is a thing of beauty. The concentration of it all is a thing of beauty. And it can't, you know, Denver needed it. Boy, if Denver would have went down 3-1, this series is over. And I think they knew that. They could not afford to lose this one. And it was who wants it the most, who's the most focused, but I cannot mention enough how historic of a game that was. And I was in a bar with a girl sitting next to me telling me she can't watch this. I can't watch this. I think I still got marks in my arm from her damn near almost snapped my arm off, you know. Uh-oh. And I told her,
that's
she asked me, are they going to go three overtimes? I'm going, no, they're not going to go three overtimes. They went three overtimes. And she asked me, are they going to go four overtimes? And I go, wait a second. I've never seen a team go four overtime. No, they're not going to go four overtimes. And I was around a couple rednecks that would rather watch hockey. And they were, you know, locked in. And one of the rednecks told me, Curtis, this is the best basketball game I've ever seen. That's how significant that was. Okay, so
right.
I'm going to go. You guys stay with me here. You guys stay with me here.
Hold on, real quick. We got a call coming in.
Okay.
Go ahead, caller. Okay. Hold on. What do you have to call? Sorry, he was holding for a minute. Go ahead, sir. What's going on?
Am I on the air?
You are officially. Sorry, man. It took a minute. We were getting through that subject. Go ahead, man.
Yeah. Am I on the air?
You are officially on the air.
All right, great. I mean, I don't know. I don't know if you guys mind if we, change subjects a little bit. But I saw on the list that you guys were talking about, you know, what QBs will be stars in this draft class.
Oh, wow. Yeah, knock it out. Go for it.
All right. Well, here's the thing, guys. I don't know what your thought is on this one, but I've been really thinking a lot about, you know, Josh Rosen. You guys know Josh Rosen. You know, he got traded to Miami. He was a number one pick overall next year. You know, I'm just thinking, what's your guys' thought on that? You know, is he going to be a success or is he going to be a bust next year in Miami? You know, because, you know, a lot of Miami's had some good quarterbacks, you know what I'm saying? Like, they've had Marino and Greasy and Jay Cutler. They've had Ryan Tannehill, Chad Henne, you know, guys like Pennington and Culpepper, you know what I'm saying? Harrington, Fielder, Marino. You know, what's your thought? Is he going to live up to that?
You forgot about Chad.
He's calling from Florida, too. So show some love for my Florida guy, too, man. No, I appreciate you calling in. Rob, you want to take that, man? We'll go around the room here.
Yeah.
I love it.
Well, you have to be a little concerned that Arizona drafted this guy in the first round and traded him after 1 year. To me, that's an automatic red flag. I've never seen a team draft a guy in the first round and give up on him 1 year and then turn around in the very next year and draft another quarterback in the first round. Now, I know this is a little bit unique because the head coach, you know, is familiar with Kyler Murray and he's in love with Kyler Murray and he just thought that I was his guy. And so he's willing to give up on Josh Rosen already. So to answer your question, do I think Josh Rosen is going to be an elite quarterback in the NFL? My answer to that question is going to be no. So I think he has the potential to be a solid starter in the NFL for years to come. I think he can. And, you know, I think a lot of the
problems last year in Arizona could be blamed by their offensive line?
Oh, absolutely. They were horrible on both the lines. They were horrible.
They also had a horrible coaching staff.
And then he lost his running back for the year, too. So, I mean, there were a lot of things that attributed to his lack of success. And but I just think, you know, for a team to draft a guy in the first round and Kingsbury, you know, turned around and drafted another quarterback in the very next year in the first round, not only the first round, number one pick overall, I can't recall an organization ever doing that before. So to me, that's a little bit of a red flag. There's got to be something there with Rosen they didn't like. Now, I know they love Kyler Murray. That was a big part of it, too. And so, I mean, like I said, to answer your question, I just can't see him being the elite quarterback because obviously Arizona would have done everything they could to keep him if that was the case. But I do think he has the potential to be a solid NFL starting quarterback. Franchise quarterback, nope. Elite quarterback, nope. Pro Bowl quarterback, absolutely not.
Wow.
You know, here's the thing. Here's my thought on Josh Rosen. It's like he's good on the field. You saw what he did for USC, but something about him just rubs me wrong. You know, I think it's his football intangibles. Something about, you know, something that you can't nail, something that you can't put in a statistic. There's something about him that just rubs me the wrong way. I don't know if that's his ego. I don't know if that's just how he presents himself, but something about him just doesn't rub me the right way.
Here, so that Wait a minute, you took right pick up on. There's a thin line between being Aaron Rodgers and being Jeff George. Like both of them have really great arms, but one of them had the mental makeup to be able to fight through the adversity and come over on the other side of it, where one of them couldn't do that, and that would be Jeff George. I worry about Josh Rosen being more Jeff George than being Aaron Rodgers. I feel like they're built in the same kind of mold, but his tick is more Jeff George's and not enough Aaron Rodgers for me. And another reason for me, he's already had multiple concussion problems at UCLA. So how many times before he gets dinged again in the NFL if he gets dinged early in his career, say next year or the year after that? Now you're saying, yeah, he's got this one here in the NFL. But now you're talking about it's the fourth or fifth one we talked about since he's been playing high-level football since being at UCLA. So those two things, to me, kind of lower his ceiling for where he can be. So I'm with you, Rob, because of those two things.
I can see it. So what's the other guy's take on that? I want to hear someone else's thought.
Yeah, we can talk. Let me give you guys a couple of different perspectives here. I think it was all about this coaching staff, this new hire, the owner of the Arizona team, and trying to figure out something that's going to sell tickets. But I want to flip the script, and I want to say, I'll speak to this thing that's putting you off, and this is what I've heard on radio stations. And I've dealt with this in my life, and I think we all have. Josh Rosen has an air about him that he's the smartest guy in the room. And sometimes when you're the smartest guy in the room, that puts a lot of us guys off. And I hear that on other talk radio stations and some of the publications I read, because he's supposed to be a very intelligent guy. And he gives that air, he's the smartest guy in the room. But the other thing, what you can hope for, and what I think I hear you saying, you can hope for this gives this guy a little hunger in his stomach, a little chip on his mind, and grit his teeth and grit his elbows and prove everybody wrong. And going to Miami, he might have a better offensive line. He might have better weapons. And he might have a better defense. And if he goes in there with some fire in his heart and he wants to prove everybody wrong, and that is an NFL player to the T, because a lot of guys in the NFL have that. They really do.
Yeah, and I'll just piggyback on
this. This move can really work out for him.
Yeah, and I'm a change the subject real quick just because I have you guys on the phone. One more thing I'm gonna say is my question to you guys is you know, with the whole Giants controversy and everyone now just they lost their faith in the Giants organization, they lost their faith in the owner. I mean, what do you guys think about that, drafting Daniel Jones at number one? I think it's a horrible decision, in my opinion. I think the Giants owner has absolutely gone off his rocker with this one. I think he is ruining the franchise. I think Giants football is worse now than it has ever been. What's your guys' take?
Well, as a Dallas Cowboy fan, I'll say this. As a Dallas Cowboy fan, I am grateful for this decision, because I think it's a bonehead move, and I hope they start him right away. Go ahead.
And Eli 2.0.
Yeah, without no ring, without no chips.
It's funny because, I mean, you mentioned Eli 2.0, but I was watching the interview of Daniel Jones the other day, and he reminds me so much of Eli Manning. His mannerisms, the way he sounds when he talks. He's got that deer and headlights look like Eli. I'm sorry to say that. But they remind me so much of one another. I don't know if y'all remember that hit Eli Manning, that look he had when he was on the ground last year.
Yep.
I just see Daniel Jones with that same look on his face.
Here's the thing. I think Dave Gettleman is absolutely killing what he started there. I think he's ruining the organization. I think the fans deserve better than what he is giving to this team.
Mm-hmm. You know what?
Well, he's trying to convince everyone else that there were two to three other teams that were going to pick Andrew Jones before 17. And, I mean, he's, you know, that's what he's trying to get across to the media. You know, I don't believe that. Half of America don't believe that. People in China and India who don't watch football, they don't believe that either. And, I mean, it was definitely a reach by the Giants picking him at number six.
And they've ruined it for him because he's not a bad quarterback, but you could have had him at 17 and maybe even the second round. When you see Drew Lock go into the second round and you say he was going to go before him, that's a non-starter. I just don't believe that. So you put that kind of pressure on him to say, oh, now everybody's calling him a bum. He's not a bum. He just got overdrafted where he was supposed to be drafted at. And now you have Haskins go to the Redskins. So not only does he have to elevate it and try to prove that he should be number six, he's got to feel like he's got to outdo Haskins every single time they play for the next decade if it works out that way for both franchises. So the amount of pressure you put on this kid outside of being the number six pick, even if he was supposed to be the number six pick, the amount of pressure you just put on him for all those reasons y'all just talked about is a lot. And I don't know if Daniel Jones was built to withstand that, especially withstand that in the New York media market. That could be disastrous.
Yeah.
And the bottom line is, you don't draft football players from Duke in the first round.
Oh! You draft football. You draft basketball players from Duke in the first round. Not football players from Duke. But I'm being a little facetious there. But
no, I agree. I agree. I think you're absolutely right on that one.
Mm-hmm.
Like
yeah.
I said, I know
the,
we got a lot.
To agree with JQ said, they could have got him at a lower cost. I mean, they could have either traded down at six, got something a little bit more, but it was a huge reach. I had Drew Lock with a higher grade, and Drew Lock went 42, and Daniel Jones went number six. I mean, that's a huge gap, and I think Drew Lock
is a better quarterback. Oh, yeah, with the new QB class, I had Will Greer higher than Drew Lock, but, I mean, I'm a Will Greer fan from the start. I thought he was going to get drafted by the Patriots, but they decided to go without Auburn quarterback, and then, you know, Panthers decided to go with Greer. I think Carolina is a good spot for Greer, but I would have liked to see him go to the Patriots, speaking as a Pats fan, but that's just me.
Yeah. Watch Jarrett Stidham. That could be a sneaky good pick for the Patriots, too.
I think he has the talent, he's got the arm strength.
I don't think he was well coached at Auburn from a quarterback perspective. That could be a really sneaky good pick for New England. And I think that is definitely one to watch and could be a very good pick for New England down the road.
I agree. Well, hey, thanks, guys. Thanks for letting me come on your show and, you know, ask some questions.
Appreciate it. Call back in.
Thank you for being a part of our show.
I'm definitely a fan. You guys are very astute with the knowledge. So, yep, keep it coming, guys. Good luck.
Hit us back up.
Keep on the shows.
All right, bro.
Love to hear from you.
Love it. We appreciate that. Calling from Florida. Apparently he's a Pats fan, too, but good stuff as well, man. So, and I always have my finger on the trigger because you never know what's going to happen, too. So, I got to say, fellas, I know we got a lot of opinions to get out. There's like six of us to kind of get some stuff in, too. So, if you try to make those points, try to be as concise as possible because we can go off the rails. And speaking for me, too, just kind of try to keep it concise so we can get through a lot of things and have some fun, too, man. Because I know he's probably sitting there waiting for, like, 10 minutes. I'm like, I got to get him on. So, anyway, we're having fun, and we'll keep this going if we will, too. So, not to get back, so we're going to switch from coin kind of going back and forth. And we do want to just kind of wrap up a couple of series here. Let's do a quick recap of the 76ers-Raptors series and Joel Embiid and kind of his play. I know we were talking about that earlier as well, too, but let's kind of get to that. And you know the drill, Rob, JQ, West Coast, and go from there, too. So, go ahead, Rob.
Well, I mean, obviously today when we're looking at that game, it was all about Kawhi Leonard. I mean, he was phenomenal. He carried that team on his back. But another thing I would like to point out is his role player stepped up today. And I think I was communicating with Andre and JQ maybe a few days ago how Lowry just does not show up in the playoff time. And he even stepped up at a solid game today. Serge Ibaka stepped up at a solid game today. Mark Gasol stepped up and had a solid game, and they've been missing in action of late. Obviously, it helped that Joel Embiid wasn't feeling that well, and he didn't you know, I think only had 11 points and shot the ball by 30% from the field. So obviously that hurt the Sixers because he was straight up dominant on Friday night. I mean, he also put on an incredible show. Maybe that was Thursday night, I'm sorry. But he put on an incredible show in game three. So today it was all about Kawhi Leonard. A phenomenal performance. He carried that team, and it showed his greatness. When he's healthy, he's clearly a top five player in this game, and he carried that Raptors team on both ends of the floor on today.
Yeah, it's a lot to unpack from this one. I don't know if you heard Van Gundy, Mark Jackson get into it, because Mark Jackson, you know, gave Dan Norton then beat after that windmill duck that he could be one of the best big men ever. And Van Gundy told him to pump his brakes. Hold on, how you going to disrespect Shaq and
Russell and all
those guys? I thought that was really, that's a really salient point. You think it's so caught up in a moment that you overdo it, and then he comes back with this kind of game. And Bead has to get in better condition. It's just that's the only thing holding him back. His conditioning right now, where he gets sick and he gets a little banged up and he just goes from these highs to these lows, he's too important to that Philadelphia team in order for that to keep happening like that. I just don't know who the best team in the East is right now. Like, one day one team will look great, another day the other team looks great. I think Kawhi Leonard is probably the second best player in the East behind Giannis. He has shown his worth. And my final point on it is that Philadelphia team is what makes me nervous as a Lakers fan and as any fan of any other team with cap money. Can you really give Jimmy Butler and Tobias Harris big money? Because they don't always show up. Like, Jimmy Butler was still solid, but I can't pay him that kind of money. I don't feel comfortable with him as my lead star. You know what I mean? And I damn sure don't feel that way about Tobias Harris. But they're playing well enough right now to where they're going to command big money in the free agent market. And if they don't have Simmons and Embiid by them, I just don't know if it's going to work out that way. So I'm still at a loss for these Eastern Conference Finals. I really expect the other one to go 2-2. I just have no idea who the best team in the East is right now. It's so volatile.
Yeah, I think when you look at starting five, the 76ers have the best starting five of any team in the East. And, I thought it was the Celtics, but Jason Tatum has just not been playing well here in the second round of the playoffs. And but when you talk about, Kyrie Irving, Brown, Tatum, Horford, and Gordon Hayward, I thought it was them. But when you look at the 76ers lineup, when they're healthy and when they're with Simmons, Embiid, Tobias Harris, and Jimmy Butler, that's hard to beat. The Bucks they're just so deep, and they're so long, and they're getting it done with defense. And Giannis, I tell you, he didn't play well in game one, but, man, games two and three, he has been phenomenal. He's been physical. He's been aggressive. He's getting to the paint with ease, and he's getting to the free throw line too. And I know the Celtics are doing all this whining and crying like a bunch of girls about not getting to the free throw line. But the Bucks are being aggressive. Giannis is being aggressive. He's taking the ball to the basket, and that's what the Celtics are not doing in that series. But I was a little concerned about the Bucks after game one. I was like, wow, well, the Celtics do have more talent. But they have responded in games two and three. So obviously this is going to be a big game. But I'm with you, JQ. It's hard for me to pinpoint who's a better team, because I could see any one of these four teams really coming out of the Eastern Conference. I really could.
Mm-hmm.
Well, when you talk about your best starting five, what I saw today, and it disturbs me with pro basketball players, when you're not hitting three throws, it scares me. And I almost will throw you in the garbage can as a pro basketball player. I almost will. As right as it's kept, guess what beat Portland today? Portland got beat in the weighing moments, and this is when those free throws come so important. In that last minute of that fourth quarter, you're not hitting those free throws, you're losing. And, Murray did not miss a three throw today. And he wasn't missing any three throws in that fourth quarter like all of us fans in Portland was hoping for. And I saw that in Philadelphia. And in Embiid's injury history, if he might not make it through the series. And if he doesn't make it through the series, is it over?
Yes.
And
yes, it is. They need him.
I'm watching that litter guy.
Kawhi.
I'm watching him, and I'm wondering, can that guy carry? Can he actually carry a team past the Philadelphia 76ers? I am so interested in seeing if that guy got the goods to do that.
Well, when you're talking about that, Curtis, just real quick, you know, 39 points, 14 rebounds, he made everybody around him better. If today is any indication, I say yes, he can.
What else we got? Good job, team.
Yeah,
yo,
but that
cool.
76
okay,
team
cool,
definitely
cool.
needs Joel Embiid if they're going to have any chance. So when he's healthy,
yeah.
when he's playing at his best, man, he is a dominant basketball player. And I tell you, in game three, he was flat out unstoppable. He was getting it done on both ends of the floor, a defensive end when it came to the block shots. He was hitting threes. He was dominant in the post. The Raptors had no answer for him. When he plays like that, they are definitely a strong favorite to win the Eastern Conference. But as you all mentioned, you know, it's every other game from a health standpoint, and that's the scary thing from the 76ers. They need him healthy every single night in the playoffs, and if he is, they are a clear contender in that Eastern Conference.
Yep. Good call for all that, too. And just to kind of, like, wrap this up, too, because it's crazy because you definitely you kind of watch teams and you kind of get a feel as far as, like, we talked about what's happening with Joel Embiid and kind of, like, how the league is kind of changing, too. Because whenever you said that, JQ, whenever you said, hey, this guy's the best guy in the league, and he gets hurt, you're like, oh, man, that's terrible. He didn't play that well, too, man. And we talked about certain teams or certain players, like, you know, like, it seems like there's a gene, right? Like, James Harden had it, like, not being able to kind of, like, perform in the playoffs. And then, you know, we talked about that with Kyle Lowry. You're just hoping that, you know, they kind of, like, kind of turn that switch too, man. So that's kind of something, too, that we'll keep an eye on as far as whenever you watch a certain squad. Because, like you said, we have no clue who's the squad, right, out of the East. Who's the best team? You know who the best players are, but it's still kind of up in the air, right? You know, so we'll keep an eye on that as well, too, man. So I'm going to really quickly talk about the 76ers and the Rockets and the Warriors because, again, it's interesting because this is going to lead into the Kevin Durant talk and, you know, free agency because, again, you know, the Curry's having a tough series, hasn't been playing that well, missing wide-open layups and whatnot. And then I thought that they were going to do some things as far as Houston. They were going to just kind of come in just kind of dominate. But it's good to see James Harden actually playing well, you know. And then Kevin Durant's just been doing lights out, man. So, again, this is going to help him do his thing whenever he's ready to go to free agency because word on the street is that you still hear that he said that he's going to take the most money that he can. He's like, hey, now's the time. I'm making the most money. So it may be the opportunity for him to look at in New York or whoever's going to offer him the most too. So, again, that's all I have to say about that. I'll let you guys jump in. And we got about 60 minutes in the show as well too. So go ahead, you know the drill. Rob, JQ, and West Coast. Go ahead.
Yeah, well, obviously, there's been rumored about New York with Kevin Durant for quite some time. And so, obviously, I think that, you know, there's still, you know, one of Andre's saying, where there's smoke, there's fire. And, you know, there's obviously got to be some talk or the Knicks are going to be in play when it comes to Kevin Durant. And watch the Clippers, too. The Clippers are also going to have something to say to Kevin Durant this offseason, too. And maybe even to Durant and Kawhi Leonard when it comes to the Clippers. So that's another thing to watch when it comes to Kevin Durant. And then, of course, you got to think that the Warriors are still in play, especially if they win another title. And, you know, you may want to have an opportunity to keep that going. So I think those will be the three teams that I would think have the best chance at landing Kevin Durant. As far as the series is concerned, with these two teams. Obviously, the Rockets won a much-needed game to keep this – to stay alive in this series. James Harden with the step-back three in overtime was huge. Put their team up by 6 points.
under a minute to go. But obviously, you know, Kevin Durant came back, got fouled on the three-pointer and cut the deficit in half. Steph Curry missed the dunk in the closing seconds. I mean, that was huge and helped the Rockets seal the deal as well. So that was another really good basketball game here in the playoffs, and the Rockets found a way to pull it out. So it's going to be real interesting. The Rockets have to win game four if they have any chance of winning this series. They lose, of course, just as Curtis said in the Nuggets-Blazers series, if the Rockets lose here in game four, the series is over. So they need Harden, and they need Chris Paul to play at another level along with the rest of the team.
Yeah, and the thing about this is it's been funny to watch this, and I don't really feel like it's gotten enough media play nationally, and it's the fact that Steph Curry has not played well consistently in this round. Really, for me, in these playoffs, Kevin Durant has done yeoman work for that Golden State team.
That's what
I'm saying. Like he had to do that kind of work because he has Steph Curry and Klay Thompson. And Klay hasn't been shooting the ball well either, but you expect to get these mini runs from Steph by himself when he gets a three, and they get a stop, and then Katie gets a two, and they get a stop, and then Steph hits another three, and the building goes wild, and you might have been tied, and now you're down seven because they just went on an 8-0 run in the minute and 30 seconds. That's not happening for them right now where it was happening, where they just hit that electricity in that run. In that 2-3 stretch, it was like, oh my gosh, how can we stop these dudes? You just don't, you know, they still have the ability, don't get me wrong. But it's not manifesting itself in the same way that it was before. And I'm looking at Steph like, dude, this is really on you. And I'm looking at KD as well, saying, he's doing his thing. And in the day, if they don't make it, you can't say, well, it's KD. You're going to be like, oh, it's Steph. But I still feel like it's the real nugget for New York is, do they get that first pick? If they get that first pick, that Zion pick, you got to understand, it's almost a football analogy of we're getting this dude, we're getting him on a rookie contract with all the talent he has. So I can go to New York and break the bank, and somebody can come with me, and we can break the bank. And we got him, but we got him for like 4 years on a rookie deal, and then we'll reevaluate where we are at that point in terms of who makes what kind of money and when at that particular point in time. But if they get that pick, and all like you said, where the smoke is fire and that piece of it trying to get the most money and still trying to build your brand and what better place to do it in the Mecca in New York. If you get him and you convince him for Kawhi or Kyrie to come with you, I just feel like he's gone. But to me, we got to put the SOS out. You know, we're in Steph Curry right now. And I know he may not be healthy, but he had no lift on that dunk attempt. And you just see him, and he's just not who you expect him to be given what he's done in these past playoff series. I don't know if it's the injuries. I don't know if it's all the mouths and the basketball games he's played. But, man, I don't know what's going on with him right now.
He injured his finger. He didn't injure his finger, man. So on his so that was a challenge, too.
Yeah,
but,
he won't play
doesn't make sense for him to miss the dunk, too. You know, he missed layups, but he's a little off, and now it's in his head, too, man. So a couple things. But, again, you know, it's just – KD is definitely showing up, and then it is a money thing now. I think that's what we're talking about too. If all those things kind of if all those things happen, then we'll talk about what happens for HUIs too. But I agree with Rob. I mean, you know, Kevin could say, "Hey, I could stay back at Golden State," but you know, maybe at the end, this is my last contract. Let's make as much as I can, and that's going to be a different scenario too, man. But with Steph Curry, clearly, like you said, I agree with you, man. He has to have a good game, man, because he's going to start getting like Harden, just, you know, just kind of getting that. That's
not that bad.
You know, that stigma, if you will. Yeah, but I'm saying, if you keep on playing in a bad series in a row, I mean, you've played well, but you don't want to let that linger, if you will, too. So go ahead, West Coast.
Well, KD is the best player on that team, and he was the best player on that team from the day he stepped on the court with the Warriors. He's proven that with MVP. He's proven that with everything, and that's what my whole argument has been with you guys. How can, if you go to the Nuggets, Jokers, he's their franchise guy. He's their best player on their team. If you go to the Blazers, it's Lillard. If you go to Toronto, it's Kawhi. But if you go to the Warriors, it's Steph Curry, and he's the second best player on the team. And I say it's not Steph Curry. This is Kevin Durant's team, and he's proven it.
It's always going to be Steph King. It's going to be Steph King because of the history.
He wasn't even the MVP the year that they did win. Kawhi Leonard was.
I get you.
So I'm not Kawhi Leonard,
but
Ibaka or whatever. Yeah.
MVP. But if you poll the casual fan that knows about Golden State and watches the NBA playoffs, not people like us that are watching and get into it, like into the X's and O's, but like your casual fans, your intermediate fans, you say Golden State, the first thing that comes to their mind is Steph Curry,
yep.
and it's not Kevin Durant.
Yep.
And I totally agree with
yep.
you. Kevin Durant is a monster. He is a machine. But he is fighting a perception battle, a PR battle, that he, I don't think he can necessarily win right now unless he stays with Golden State for four more years and keeps doing these kind of things, and then he can change it. Right now, I hear what you're saying. It may not be right, but right now it's still Steph Curry's team in the mainstream public's eye, and he knows that, and I think that plays into his decision, this free agency period. I'm not saying you're wrong in terms of who's a better player. It's most definitely Kevin Durant. It's most definitely Kevin Durant. But if you talk about, you know, who's my franchise, it's Steph Curry.
And this is the thing, and not to say the fact that we talk about, I mean, Curry has definitely put his team on the map, and Curry has changed a couple things about that squad, man, because every time you look at Golden State, they've had to defense Golden State differently because of Curry. Curry hasn't played well the past couple games, but again, and we're not saying that again, that he's not better than Durant, but we are saying because of Steph Curry, you kind of have that Golden State on the map. I mean, obviously other things happen, but it is kind of Curry from that perspective too. I mean, you add Durant, that's just icing on the cake, but I mean, like JQ said, he is a monster, man. Anybody that's like almost freaking 7-something foot, that's so like athletic and shoot. I mean, he's a matchup nightmare. I mean, he's definitely a unicorn as well, man. So we're
and
in agreement.
He's got a long, long
shot.
Is almost
I guess you can't deny that was a 73 game winning team before Kevin Durant got there, and you know. You know, that is a fact. But Kevin Durant, one of the things I think is interesting here, when I said earlier that I think it's too much for any of these teams left in the NBA playoffs to win three straight, I kind of meant it, but the one team I think can go and beat another team three straight is the Golden State Warriors, and it's mainly because of Kevin Durant.
Yeah,
they're the only team I think that may can take it. You know, I thought it was too much to ask, as it was said and done, for Portland to have beaten Denver three straight. In the Portland Denver series, there's a whole lot of relationships here. There's a relationship of how we got Nurkic. We got Nurkic from Denver because Jokic, they felt like, was the better guy. And that irks me for a little bit. But also, Denver took our Plumlee, our real Greer, and they took another Portland guy that we gave up on here in Portland. So that's an interesting little tie-in to the relationships in this series here. But back to Kevin Durant. Kevin Durant hasn't made a decision. I don't think he's totally made a decision yet. And I don't think he's going to make a decision until after all the dust is cleared and he gets a chance to take a deep breath.
The lottery.
I agree.
I think it's still about the ping-pong balls. I think it's the ping-pong balls. If New York gets that first pick, I mean, they put themselves in a position to say, hey, we get Zion, and we got two max contracts. That lottery, that team, those ping-pong balls, I'm with you. I don't think he made his decision, but I think a lot of that is centered on those ping-pong balls. I really, really do. Zion might be a one-in-a-generational kind of basketball player. And if you can get him on a deal with two other max contracts, that's very enticing to the agent.
Yeah. I mean, Kevin Durant goes to the Knicks and revive basketball in New York City. I mean, the legend he would be in New York, it would be unbelievable.
Yeah.
And I think he will be all forgiven for leaving the Golden State team that took the Warriors to 7 games, then go to them and help them win another championship. And so I think people will forget about doing that if he's able to go to New York City and help revive basketball in the Mecca.
Agreed.
different squad. We're going to talk about this all the time, but that's okay. Let's get into this James Harden branded basketball as it built for the playoffs. We got 5 minutes left in the show here.
Well, I mean, until he could lead a team at least to the NBA Finals, I'm going to say no. The type of performances that he has in the regular season, you just haven't seen him do that in the playoffs. I still think they probably have the best chance to unseat the Warriors. I don't think they will, but I think they're the team with the best chance in the Western Conference to do so. But, no, I don't think his brand of basketball, his style of play, is conducive to help them to win a series against the Golden State Warriors, which is right now the only team that's, you know, that's the team they need to be able to beat. Not the Jazz, not the Blazers, not the Nuggets. Can they beat the Warriors? And right now, I still don't think they can. And it's Harden's brand of basketball that he has in the regular season is not conducive for them to be successful to beat the Warriors in a playoff series.
Listen, when your GM comes out and says, hey, we have built our whole team, our whole mission is to beat the Warriors. They are the blueprint. We are making no mistake about who we're trying to beat. When they say that and you're the best team, best player on that team, then, yeah, you have to still improve in the playoffs. I totally agree with you, Rob. I'm going to say no for right now because it has to translate. You've got to beat them 4 out of 7 games. But when your GM comes out and says that and says we put a bullseye on that team and then you get that team 2 years in a row, your brand of basketball has to be able to knock them off or it's not going to work. And it didn't work last year, and now they're down 2-1 this year. So until I see them do it, I can't go with it. And like Shaq like to talk about the others. How much better is he making the others? He makes Capella better than the rim runner. But outside of that, he dominates the ball so much, it's hard to get everybody else involved unless he's on the bench or hurt. So I'm with Rob. And until they beat the Warriors, the team that you said that you're building your team to beat, I'm going to say no.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Yep.
Hey, Rob.
In the playoffs, you still miss. All beard and no brains.
So, y'all got a couple seconds. If y'all can get in really fast, we got a minute to kind of jump in and get ready for the OC. So, West Coast, you got to be real fast here.
I just wanted to give a shout out to Seth Curry, who really played well coming in the game today, hitting 3 big 3s like he did. Kept us in the game at that particular point. Go Blazers in game 5.
I want to just piggyback on what we were just talking about. I've always said, and I've said this on this radio show before, it's hard for me to watch the beard. And I'm thinking as a coach, it would be hard for me to coach that kind of stuff that Harden displays on a basketball court.
But, individualism. Yeah.
Yeah. It's hard for me to watch. I can't watch the. I don't like watching that kind of basketball.
Gotcha. Hey, so, hold on, Curtis. Hold that thought. Let's get into OT portion. Set it up, Rob, and then we'll kind of continue on with this frame of thought.
Ladies and gentlemen, we thank you for tuning in to another great edition of Talking Sports with the 12th Man. We thank you all for staying up late with us, whether you're in Hawaii, whether you're in Portland, whether you're in Los Angeles, whether you're in Des Moines, Iowa, we appreciate you staying up with us and listening to the show on tonight. I know you have nothing else to do in Des Moines, Iowa, so I appreciate you tuning in, and listening to us. But we'll be back on the air live again on Tuesday night. That's going to be not this coming Tuesday, but the following Tuesday. That's going to be May 14th. If I'm not mistaken, that's the night of the NBA lottery, if I have that correct.
Yes.
I believe that's the night of the NBA lottery. It's going to be Tuesday, May 14th. That's going to be our next show. Coming next Sunday is Mother's Day, so happy Mother's Day to all the moms out there in advance. So we are going to skip Sunday, give everybody an opportunity to spend time with either their moms or their wives or what have you. So happy Mother's Day again to all the ladies that are mothers out there. So we're going to come to you on Tuesday night, May 14th, 11 p.m. Eastern, 10 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. You don't want to miss it. Good night, people.
Yeah, I echo that. That's my mom and my wife. Happy Mother's Day. appreciate y'all for listening to the show. And it's my fault because I just randomly shouted out to Mark Iowa, and now Rob will not let it go. And he's constantly putting him into the show. So I'll take responsibility for that. That's my fault, Demar. Y'all keep doing what you do. But anyway, we appreciate y'all.
We got two tight ends after the first round, though.
They absolutely did. And the callers, please keep calling in. That was a great spot for the show. We appreciate it as always. And download it, the link tomorrow and get the rest of this OC. We holler at you. Go Dodgers.
There it is. I definitely agree with Curtis because just kind of like wrapping up about the James Harden style, man, it is not fun to watch to see somebody hold the ball and sit there and dribble it. And, you know, he's talented, but, you know, can you imagine him in like a free-flowing offensive system too? Because we thought that, you know, having Chris Paul would be a challenge because, you know, James Harden is so ball dominant. They figured a way to make it work. But again, just to kind of wrap it up and kind of like, you know, put a bow on it, you know, until they win, you know, we're still going to kind of question if that style is even successful right now too, man, because, again, more or less the teams that have the ball movement, the Spurs basketball, little things like that have been a little bit more successful. I do want to get to Rob's mock draft here. We got about 50 minutes in the show too, so let's talk about that. Really kind of Boston and Milwaukee, that's all about, you know, Giannis, man. He's doing his thing, man. You know, we kind of thought that they were – that first game they got blown out, but then, you know, they've kind of, like, settled in and it looks like they have got, you know, gained some confidence. So if you want to kind of do a quick brief thing on that, we'll kind of reverse the flow, go West Coast, JQ, and let Rob talk about that and then the mock draft. So go ahead.
Yeah, well, obviously we don't have to spend a whole lot of time on the number one pick. We know it's Zion Williamson regardless of who gets it. Right now we're just going to go with the Knicks because they have the best chance to get it. The question is, we know he's going to be great. How great is the question when it comes to Zion Williamson? There's no doubt about it. John Morant, point guard from Murray State. I have him going to Cleveland at the number two spot. And R.J. Barrett, number three, to Phoenix. Jared Culver, shooter guard, Texas Tech. Have him going four to Chicago. Andre's Atlanta Hawks. Rui Hachimura. Forward from Gonzaga, having gone to the Hawks.
I don't know if I like that.
At the number five spot. Versatile player, safe pick. You know, born in Japan. Yeah. Washington, I have them taking Kobe White, point guard from North Carolina. And my New Orleans Pelicans have taken DeAndre Hunter, swing man from Virginia. Cam Reddish, so much talent. Seems like he had an enigma of a first year at Duke. Was only your Duke, rather. But the talent is still there. Somebody's going to take a chance on him. Have him going number eight to Memphis. And Andre's Atlanta team, the Hawks, again, have taken Jackson Hayes, center from Texas with a lot of length. Azir Little, another guy that has a lot of talent, has to develop that outside shot. Has to be a little bit, he's got to get it between the years for him to succeed at the next level, too. But he has the talent. He has the athletic ability. Have him going number 10 to Minnesota. I'll stop there unless there's any other players you guys have any questions about.
No, because I honestly feel like that we're talking about, to me, it's three players in the wild card. So those top three you talked about are the ones that I would focus on. Zion, for there's no need to beat the dead horse. We all feel like he's going to be a stud. And then he's going to be a draw to whoever gets that number one pick. We think it's going to be the Knicks for all the reasons we just talked about in this show. So that's that piece. I won't go too much more into that. Morant, can at his size, he's got the athleticism, but he's a little frail. Can he hold up to the rigors of it? I thought the same thing about Trae Young, and it took him a little while to figure it out with the Hawks. But, you know, from the All-Star game towards the end of the season, he really started to figure it out. He stood in, and he came on. And I would really love for them to do a Jason Kidd, Grant Hill kind of thing where they split the Rookie of the Year vote and let him and Doncic, split it. So I look at them and Grant in that kind of vein of, I feel like he has all the ability to even withstand the rigors of an NBA season. And R.J. Barrett, he's got to figure out when to not play hero ball. He's got that herky-jerky kind of old man YMCA game where he doesn't necessarily wow you. With all his athleticism, he finds a way to put the ball in the basket. And at the end of the day, if you can do that, you can be a star in the NBA and you can have a very good career. So those three, I look at as, you know, being definitely the cream of the crop in this draft. And you talk about Hachimura going to the Hawks. And I give Rob a ton of credit. I wasn't really on him, but more as the season went on and I started paying attention to Gonzaga more and what he was doing for them, if he goes to the right place and the right system, he could really be a monster. He can do a whole lot at his size, and he's a menace on defense as well. So those are the four guys that I'm looking at. And, I mean, you're going to find somebody else that, you know, we haven't touched upon that's going to jump up and say, hey, maybe a Culver, maybe a Hunter. To say, okay, this guy, oh, we totally undervalued. He went to this right situation, this system, he flourished. But that's kind of one of those things you have to, like, kind of see let play out, in my standpoint. But those first three, and that in the wild card pick for me, are the ones that I'm really watching this next couple of years here in the NBA to see if they pan out.
Hey, you mentioned Gonzaga. I have Brandon Clark, big man from Gonzaga, also on the first round. Have him going 17 to Brooklyn.
I want to ask about the two kids from that Central Florida, the team that should have beat Duke in the first round there. That big center, I can't remember his name, and Johnny Dawkins' son. Yeah, Taco, and then Johnny Dawkins' son. What do you see there?
Aubrey.
Well, right now, yeah. I don't project either one of them to get drafted. Out of those two players, so I mean, I don't expect either one of those two players to get drafted in this year's draft.
Wow, Taco doesn't have the athleticism. Taco doesn't have the athleticism to me. He's great in college, but in the NBA, he will be just one of those big kind of stiffs. Aubrey, I don't know. He's another lower wild card, but he can just put the ball in the bucket. And it's something to be said for a guy that necessarily may not start, but he'd be part of a bench unit somewhere and come in to be a microwave kind of Vinny Johnson kind of thing and come in and just be able to provide instant offense, Lou Williams, and be able to do that kind of thing. So, to me, he's the one I think has the most upside because he doesn't have an elite athletic system, but sometimes you can just find dudes that find a way to, you know, they know their bodies, you know what I mean? Like, I'm not a big dude, but I'm big enough and I can find these angles and I can sit off the backboard and I can get the ball in the hole. And I may not be an all-star, but I'm somebody that every NBA team needs on their bench to come in and solidify that when my starters come out to keep the score at least even or gain about 4 to 5. So I want Bulls Aubrey. I think when he gets to Duke, that elite team that Duke had, I kind of like him to sneak in the second round. I do.
And I also
another thing I'll mention about.
Well, I want to say, doesn't he have an NBA connection? Yeah, doesn't he have an NBA connection? His dad played in the NBA, and that seems to be a path. So I was a little surprised when you said that you don't think he'd get drafted. I think he's already got a path in because of his dad and his dad. I think he's getting drafted.
Well, I will say this. These teams are in the business of winning. I don't think they're in the business of picking the guy just because they know the guy's dad or you know, what have you like that. These teams are in the business of winning. And, you know, both of these players have entered the draft, but I don't know if you guys know the new rules when it comes to entering the draft now. You can actually hire an agent now and still go back to college. And so right now both of these players are just testing the water, but they both could wind up going right back to Central Florida. And like I said, I don't project either one of them to get drafted at the moment. So, in my opinion, their best bet is for both of them to go back to school and see if they could, you know, try to improve on their draft stock. Now, Aubrey's 23 years old, too. So, he's an older college basketball player. Yeah, he's 23 years old. And but he still has he still can go back to college. And possibly still work on it. But right now, I don't have either one of them getting drafted.
Hey, really quickly, Rob, let me ask this question before we wrap up, too. So just to kind of back it, not that we're always about Zion, but what position does Zion play? Is he a four? Is he a five? Where would you put him whenever if you're kind of drafting, you know, and what kind of – how does he play in the NBA?
He's a basketball player. I don't think he has a position.
Yep.
And I knew you were going to
say that right now.
I'm saying. Yep, we're good.
He's a three or four.
You see that? Yeah, absolutely. But I think what you're seeing more and more in the NBA right now And, you know, those hated Warriors, I got to give them credit for this. But they positionless basketball is really what you have in the NBA right now. And so when you look at, you know, I guess if you have to say a position, he's a forward. But, you know, he's a basketball player. That's what I would have to say, like I said, because he's not your traditional small forward, and he's not your traditional power forward, like 6'4", or however tall he is. So he's a basketball player. He's just a guy you just got to put out there, put him out there on the floor, let him use his body, let him use his athletic ability, and he's going to help your team succeed.
He's a four. And the reason why I say he's a four, you're right, it's positionless basketball, but he's not fast enough, laterally, I think, to cover most three guards in the NBA. But if you're talking about the new age NBA, we don't have those 6'11 kind of power forwards that will get on the block and post you up with their own mouth in the house. That doesn't really happen, so to speak. Maybe a handful of teams may do that, but overall, from an NBA standpoint, that doesn't really happen. The part about it, you want to have a big dude, but you want him to be able to go out to the three-point line and shoot the three. You know, necessarily throwing it to him on the block, and where he has a move and a counter move on the block to take advantage of a smaller basketball player. So that helps Zion to play the four because he's big enough and strong enough to hold up on the outside to where you're not necessarily banging him and just shoot over him on the block. But you just can't blow past him as a four and necessarily go through him because he's so solid. So if I had to answer that question, I would say in today's NBA, he's a four.
And I wonder if he can be another Kawhi Leonard. What he does in college, if he translates that to the same thing Kawhi Leonard's doing, and if he has anywhere near Kawhi Leonard's talent, that's where I'm at on Zion. I think he can. He has to prove it, but he may be on the same level and play that same position that Kawhi Leonard plays.
Kawhi's more of a two over three. I don't think he's quick enough laterally and defensively to be able to play like Kawhi can. He can get in the passing lanes. He's great at getting into the passing lanes, but one-on-one defensively out in space on a three-man in the NBA, I don't think he's quick enough. But on a four, he's most definitely quick enough.
Yeah. All right, I was asked somebody had to say that to me, so I was just kind of like kind of getting your details about that too. But it's all good. Like I said, we'll see how it plays out as we continue on. All right, gentlemen, like we always like to do, we are officially wrapping the show. I want to give everyone an opportunity around the room to say that what they want to talk about the weekend. And again, I just want to stress because, you know, we're on the East Coast, so, you know, we try to like be concise and all that fun stuff too whenever you're making those last-minute points, too. So go around, and then we'll get wrapped the show. So you know how the drill works. Go ahead, guys.
Go ahead, Rob.
Oh, am I going first?
Yes, sir.
Closing remarks. If I had to talk about any closing remarks, just to preview college basketball here for next season, we're talking about Zion Williamson and things of that nature. But the teams that I'm looking at to be the top three teams in college basketball next year. Michigan State is going to be a flat-out tough to beat, getting Cassius to come back as well. To me, they're the early favorites to win the national title in college basketball next year. And then JQ's favorite school, Michigan. You got to like Michigan as well. Two teams from the same conference in the top three in college basketball next season. Those two teams are going to be a tough out going into the season next year. And then last but not least, Kentucky. They were able to get a combination of players to come back. And then, of course, they got a top-notch recruiting class coming in just like they always do. So those will be my top three teams as of right now going into the season in that order next season when it comes to college basketball.
Well, I'll tell you like this. I don't really have a whole lot of anticipation for my Bengals and my Reds are scuffling. So I'm really going to just, you know, throw a softball to my homies over there on the West Coast. And I stuck with it. That Denver-Portland series has been – you talked about that one game being epic. But I think that one game has transformed that series almost into being an epic series, especially with the way it came out, both of them, and competed today. And you could really say Denver could have laid down and said, you know what, we had our best shot to win that game in game three and we lost. and laid down and just went home and said, you know what, we did better than most people thought we were going to do. But they came out and played hard today and got a win in a tough place to play in Portland, and it's not at a two. So I'm still not going to back off in terms of these four series that I talked about. The one that I was the most interested in has not wavered, and it's been the Portland and the Denver series. Now we're down to a best of three. I'm really, really excited to see do those two teams continue to stay in their lane and play their brand of basketball. Does the doubts and you know, the pressure start to creep in where they start to do too much on either side? Jamal Murray starts to try to battle, you know, CJ and Dame and say, you know what, I'm a young buck, but I'm here, and get out of it and not give the ball to Jokic like he should. And then see Dame and CJ say, you know what, this is your little young folks, that he got something. And then they start to try to do too much one-on-one and say, you know, we got this. Like, I'm really interested to see how those last three games play out. If it goes those three, there's going to be two of them. I'm really interested to see that happen. I'm excited about that Denver-Portland series. I've been on it since the beginning, and I want to see how it plays out.
Well, you know what, I am too. I think that it's going to be a great series. If we can somehow, you know, get this next game, I'll go see it. I'll go to the game and watch them close it out. If it happens that way, that's what we're hoping on. I know Curtis has got something he wants to talk about. Go ahead, Curtis.
Okay, everybody. I want to say this on radio, and I want to say this to all of our radio listeners. Over the last month, we are witnessing historic events. And I'm going to start off with that game three here in Portland. That is one for the history books. Tiger Woods' victory at the Masters this year, another one for the history books. I am, because of what happened, and this is another historic event that I witnessed, and I hope a lot of our radio listening fans witnessed, the disqualification in the Kentucky Derby. And, okay, in the Kentucky Derby, I was on if I won money in this Kentucky Derby, I would be on an 8-game winning streak. When it finished, and it finished unofficial, I was out of the money. I was out of the money. And so I thought my winning streak there was over. And then after a half hour, officially they said it was a 22-minute video review, 22-minute decision. I moved into the money. Yeah. My $17 turned into $100. and the other historic thing that I didn't miss, and it blew my mind, Steph Curry is the hugest 3-point shooter in NBA history. He passed up, and this blew my mind, he passed up Ray Allen in playoff threes that I didn't see coming, and it never crossed my mind. And he beat Ray Allen by 60 games. Ray Allen played 60 more games than Steph Curry do to have that record for 3-point shots in the playoffs. And Steph Curry, historic again, has passed Ray Allen and passed him with a 60-game difference. Ray played 60 more games than he did. Historic. We are witnessing over the last month some things that are going in our history books.
Wow. Yeah, I concur with that too, man. I mean, definitely you think about the shots and talk about that. And then just to kind of piggyback, we're talking about that. We are watching the game and there's no way it's going to go into overtime. Boom, double overtime, triple overtime, then quadruple overtime. That was crazy too. So great game and just one of those – like you said, I'm excited about the future of basketball because it seems like we definitely are watching some just a good mix up as far as what's happening in the teams. We don't know what's happening out of the East, but again, we kind of have an idea what's happening in the West too. So, good calls, gentlemen. All right, again, we appreciate everyone. Appreciate the calls in, and I know it's been a crazy, crazy week. But gentlemen, again, you guys have a fantastic, fantastic week. I know you kind of targeted earlier, Rob, about the Mother's Day is coming up too. So, you know, shout out to all the mothers out there and wives and all that fun stuff too, and all the good jazz.
But,
have a great, great week. Get some rest. West Coast, we look forward to. Shout out to Josh. She's out there. My cousin, she's out in the West Coast. She's actually in Portland too. So she's been hitting me up as far as she's excited for the Portland too. So she's caught the fever. So you got another Portland fan out there too, man. But anyway, all the good jazz. Guys, have a great week, and we'll talk to you guys on the next show, okay?
Yes, sir.
Have a good one. Good night, everyone.
Yep.
Good night.